That's right, a big ball of anxiety coming at you.
Boy, we got into this show.
4 hours in the loop. Of course, as the man said, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, in the loop, getting going on a Thursday, a thirsty Thursday.
Yes, it is.
Apparently, for me personally, the thirst is anxiety. I'll try to tamp that down.
But you're not alone this time.
Yeah, no, that is good. And that probably does speak to the idea that I need to be setting up some appointments with the therapist here soon, right? Like, just generally. But the football anxiety, I think, exists a little bit because this is the week in which you get your best test. D'Amico Ryans alluded to that when he also pointed to Jordan Love as the best quarterback that you will have faced to date in this season, which obviously rose, you know, caught people's attention.
Yeah.
Ears perked up at that point because they're like, oh, really? Okay.
That's a shot at Josh Allen.
Word to Josh Allen. You got anything to say there? But yeah, so there's that portion of it. But also,
beef.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. But then it goes further than just the quarterback portion of it. This is a very good Green Bay Packers team. They had a little bit of a, you know, a surge forward last year with that season. And obviously then, you know, various things in the postseason, having a nice little run that gave them a lot more shine. So you are going up as a Texas team looking to have that resurgence. In fact, you, Lopez, have pointed to them as kind of like bizarro Texas of the NFC.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, this game with the Packers is going to – every game you try to learn something, what's it going to mean, all that stuff. Last week we're like, all right, you know, I said on Monday they're a Super Bowl contender, you know, based on what I saw and how they performed and the guys that were back, et cetera. I still believe that, but I think you're going to learn a lot about just how good this offensive line is. You're going to learn a lot more about just how good this defense is against the run. You know, you're going to learn a lot because the Packers – yeah, obviously the Vikings were a huge test and they slapped you around a little bit, but going into the game you know what you're getting this time, and you're ready for it. You know what to expect, and I think this team, this game, is going to say a lot about a lot of people, especially the offensive line.
All right, so let's go into that. from the 832, the Packers have beat nobody. What are y'all scared of? Well, let's get into that. Okay. And, of course, when I say the 832, that is on the text line. 713-572-4610. That is the number to text to get involved with the conversation. What stands to be learned about your Houston Texans from this game in Green Bay? You started listing some of those things off. Let's get there. Like, I do wonder, you feel like offensive line is one of those places where you stand to gain a good idea of what's happening here. I spent my walk to work this morning kind of watching some tape on the wham blocks that this Texans team used to kind of bust a few of the big runs that they did. The Joe Mixon runs in particular, you know, using kind of that wham concept, tight ends coming in and hitting that defensive tackle and allowing your interior defensive lineman to get up to the second level. I know that we played audio yesterday of Seth talking about how that's not going to be something that you can use as a panacea for running the football. Are you going to be able to continue to use the wham blocks? Is it going to be more traps where you're using your tackles to kind of do similar things? But are you going to be able to get the interior of your offensive line up to the second level? And that's the deeper way, I guess, of saying, will this team be able to block up and run the football against teams that are not just the Patriots and the Colts, where you were able to get explosive against defenses that are prone to giving those things up?
And on the other side, stop it. And so I think both those things, the offensive line, the blocking, and the interior defense, and this thought kind of occurred to me when I saw the official injury report yesterday, and we're going to get, you know, reports from practice today, so we'll have another report for you during the course of our show. But as I'm looking at this and thinking about, you know, what you just said on the offensive line, I was thinking, all right, we know now how this game is going to be won or lost. I think we know now how that will happen. And I don't know if it makes you anxious, nervous, whatever, because when you look at the injury report, the thought occurs, let's start with the offensive side. They're healthy, but they're facing a defense that is eighth against the run overall in the NFL. Last week they had their best game. They allowed just 89 yards against the Cardinals rushing, and the Cardinals were no chump rushing the ball going into that game. So offensively, was that real last week? Was that real? We're going to find out.
Yeah.
We're going to find out just how good they are.
Yeah, and you mentioned on the other side, defensively stopping the run is going to be very interesting as well. Josh Jacobs over there, you talk about no chump. That is a dude who is no chump. He busts off explosive plays at the fifth highest rate than as anyone in the league. Like, that is where you get to be, it gets to be a problem, right? Chunk plays is in some ways the name of the game of football, limiting those or gaining them if you are on offense. And in a sense, as we're talking about defense, so limiting those. And where do those chunk plays come from, Lopez?
Right. Look, Jordan Love can win this game with his arm. CJ Stroud can win this game with his arm. But this game is going to be won with the defense, the interior defense of the Texans. After I saw the injury report yesterday, they could have four new starters at the defensive tackle and linebacker position.
Yeah, on the interior or the spine of the defense, as they like to say.
Yeah, up the middle. Henry Toto was a DNP, did not participate. Aziz Al-Shaair did not participate. Mario Edwards is suspended.
Correct.
And Danico Autry is going to come in. Fodakasi was a DNP yesterday. So,
with the shoulder.
Yeah, so Danico Autry's going to come in, and if you know anything about Nick Casario, you know he thinks he's a junkyard dog, but he hadn't played.
And a bad man that you don't want to see in the alley, in a dark alley. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You want him behind you in a dark alley.
Or with you, or in front of you, just generally in your company.
Yeah, I don't want nobody behind me in a dark alley. Hold up.
You want him to do
the
heavy lifting in a dark alley. We'll put it that way. But that said, he hasn't played a game in 284 days. So there's and it's a position where he's kind of been like almost a part-time player on the interior.
Yeah, and a part-time player where you imagine that, okay, he can give you a little something in the run, but that is not his claim to fame, right?
Like, right.
You brought him here as consummate pass rusher, guy who can give you that. And when he has moved inside, it has been third downs, clear passing down situations where he's allowed to, you know, get upfield and, go get the passer. And you would be asking him in this instance to maybe play more, or maybe now you're looking towards the likes of Tim Settle and Kurt Heinisch, who was coming back, who's been activated this week. Maybe you're looking to those guys, but then also the rotation of that, when you start having that kind of specialization, it's good in some ways, but it's bad in some ways, because if you have the specialized lineup out there that's there to stop the run,
exactly,
can they then are they going to have opportunities to pass the football? Or if you have the specialized unit that's out there to stop the pass, are they then going to be able to run the football on you? That's something that my again, anxiety brain is taking me to when you talk about that. But what is Danico Autry going to look like fitting in with what's happening here is another thing that's there to be learned in during the course of this game.
Trust me, this game is going to be bliss for all those people, all those texters that say, I watched the lines, I watched the block, because the interior of the Texans defense is absolutely going to spell the difference. Despite what Jordan Love can do, what C.J. Stroud can do. 11 of Josh Jacobs' longest 12 runs this year, his 12 longest runs, I say this year, in the last three games, I went back three games, are between the tackles. And you got four new starters there. You got one dude. How many snaps is Danico Autry going to get in his first game?
Well, if you listen to D'Amico Ryans, and this was a cut six when he talked to the media yesterday, he was asked directly about, like, Danico Autry. Just, is he ready to go? Like, what's happened with him? You know, are there any level of parameters or restrictions on him?
Autry, he's ready to go. He's been doing a lot of work. You know, while people weren't watching him, while he wasn't here, he put a lot of work in. And that's the biggest thing. And that's a credit to all our guys. And I really, you know, with our sports performance group and the way they work with our guys when they're not here, like, it just shows how Dylan came back. Dylan was ready to go. Damian steps back in. Joe steps back in. Like, that's a credit to not just the football side, but our sports performance side, our training room, and how they have our guys prepared. When they do get back, they're back and they're ready to be effective for us.
I don't doubt a single word of that, but how many snaps does that equal? You know, when you have four, you know what I'm saying? Is it 60%? Is it 90%?
Right, and I think that question probably, again, skews more to the idea of style of play in those instances,
well,
as opposed
too,
to like his capability. Mm-hmm. I don't doubt that if they really wanted him to be out there for majority of the snaps that he could. But again, when you have those guys in the interior, where when you're probably going to need Heinisch and Settle and those types of guys, will that then take away from Danico Autry being on the field, and how does that balance out? I'm interested to see that whole rotation, as this is a defense that likes rotating those guys. I think that's going to be really interesting to see during the course of this. For me, another thing that stands to be gained is, I think we all believe that the tip of the spear with this team is the defense, and the tip of the spear of the defense is generating pressure. Just how good are you at that? Because this Packers offensive line is one of the three best, or at least, I guess, to make it more general, one of the five best offensive lines in the league. I was looking at it last night. The Packers were blitzed the most out of all offenses thus far this season, 39.4%.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the second lowest sack percentage.
I mean, think about that.
Now, sacks are also often considered a quarterback stat, and Jordan Love can move around. Mm-hmm. But this is even graded by Pro Football Focus. They're a top five offensive line. They can keep their quarterback upright. So just how effective will you be with Will Anderson, with Daniil Hunter, and obviously all the other factors that we have talked about as well? Like, how effective will you be at getting at him? And then what does that mean? Are you going to see the blitz again tick up in the same ways that we've seen them sometimes go? Obviously, sometimes because you're facing a rookie quarterback. Or is this then going to put more responsibility on those guys? Make sure you try and apply pressure with four.
Yeah.
And we're just going to try and cover back here. But then what does that coverage look like with, as you mentioned, the various injuries you're dealing with, especially Kamari Lassiter and Jimmy Ward, who we have reporting saying that they're not going to play?
Yeah, no, absolutely. How much do you blitz? Can you get away with it? Jordan Love is not just mobile, he's smart. I mean, he gets the ball in the right spots and he gets it out.
He'll make some bad decisions on you, but it's not even, I guess, maybe not bad decisions. He'll make he'll take some risks.
Exactly.
Is the way to say
it. He got a little bit of that swashbuckler in him, so to speak. And oh, by the way, talking about the interior of the Texans defense, even if you had all four starters and Danico Autry, they're the second best rushing offense in the entire NFL. So this is a trenches game. It absolutely is. What are you going to do offensively? Not just rushing the ball, but that's huge, but also protecting C.J. Stroud. And can you, number one, as you just pointed out, get to Jordan Love with your front four? Number two, can you stop them between the tackles? Because they are really good between the tackles, like really, really good. It is a trenches game. Like I said earlier, certainly it can be a close game and Jordan Love wins it or C.J. Stroud wins it with their arm. But the tone of this game is going to be set right there on the lines.
I don't know exactly how to frame this in talking about the things that we can continue to learn about this team in this upcoming Green Bay Packer game in Lambeau, mind you. But just how good is CJ at protecting the football?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just going to be
CJ, turnovers.
But this is a team in the Packers that generates turnovers at an incredible clip. And a lot of this is because of, the Jeff Hafley, the new defense coordinator. You're going to hear his name a lot for the Packers this week. He has an emphasis, a very unique emphasis. In fact, I was reading a piece in The Athletic about these guys, and they are leaning on the doctrine of Campy 316, which is Campanile, their linebackers coach, Anthony Campanile. Like, they are teams that really punch at the football and those types of things. But then also Xavier McKinney back there being able to get interceptions as well. That has been a big addition for them defensively. So CJ has obviously done a really good job understanding that teams are playing too high and not allowing him to take those deep shots that you can tell that he loves. Getting the ball into safe spaces, which we know he is capable of doing, but obviously at this level, at this type of game, with, I imagine, the pressure that they're going to be able to put on you, probably on the scoreboard in some ways, is he going to be able to continue to have the mature decision-making, which I'm not really worried about, but then once the ball is in the hands of some of your playmakers, are they going to be cautious enough to make sure that they hold on to it? Because this team loves punching it out.
They lead the league in turnover differential and total turnovers. They've created 17 fumbles and interceptions that they have recovered or they've gotten in six games. I'm glad you brought that up because that's the other part of it. What you can do protecting the ball, what you can do to take away the ball. And they had a nice run last week, the Texans. So we'll see if that can play. But this is an anxious type of week for the Texans fan and Texans fans in particular.
Yeah, so it's an opportunity to learn more about this team, I think, as any week is, right? I don't want to make it seem like it is outsized, but again, this is the biggest challenge.
This seems real, though, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is a real test.
This is a real test, and I know there's a few folks on the text line that I guess, I don't know if I want to, I'm not trying to be mean in saying this, but are seemingly kind of waving away the Packers, saying who have they beaten. They're 4-2. Their two losses to the Eagles and the Vikings, obviously. Better teams. The Eagles are kind of in this weird nebulous place where it feels like they're in a little bit of crisis, even though they still have a lot of talent. Their wins against the Colts, the Titans, the Rams, and the Cardinals, maybe not teams that you write home against, but even in those losses, both those times they scored 29 points. And again, it is worth noting that They did not have Jordan Love for a lot of these games as well, and they were able to make things happen. Plus, their defense has been okay while creating a lot of, generating a lot of turnover. So they have some unique things that they bring that run up against what the Texans do. And so hopefully we get to learn about those things that we talked about and maybe more as your Texans will go to Lambeau Field on Sunday. We're just getting going here on a Thursday here in The Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Get involved with the program. The Twitch and the YouTube are there for you. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube. Twitch is 610 Houston. And, of course, always text to us, 713-572-4610. We greatly appreciate you doing that. All right, let's keep it going here in The Loop. And we are mere days away from the NBA season getting started. Obviously, your Rockets have their final preseason game tonight against the Spurs at Toyota Center at 7. The Ringer put together a really interesting list of a defining stat for every NBA team ahead of the season. What is it for the Rockets, and what does that mean for this season coming forward? We'll discuss that next.